Y'all were just saying, Macaulay Culkin says, kids don't recognize me anymore.
He's all covered in sores. Or is it somebody else?
That's somebody else.
Doesn't he look all blotchy these days? Every time I see him, doesn't he look all pockmarked and whatnot, like the crows have been pecking at him?
He might be. I haven't seen him lately.
Oh, whatever. Here's how you know it's going to be a good day today. Here's how Sarah Dillon greeted me this morning. Walked in the building and Sarah said, I woke up this morning and my foot was all covered in blood. And then she just sort of walked on down the hall.
I hobbled.
No follow-up at all. No explanation.
Well, it sucks, too, because it was my friend's birthday, so I can't be mad at him because, you know, being the drunken guy he was, since I contributed to buying him shots and whatnot.
Who hasn't woken up covered in blood? Was it your own blood, at least?
Yes.
Or do you even know?
No, it was mine. I was wearing my platforms, and he jumped on me. My 200-pound friend jumped on me and knocked me over.
He didn't want you to leave.
I guess not.
He wanted to spend more time with you. Let's see. And Scotty J is telling me that Mount Hood community... Is it Mount Hood? It's a community college, right?
Yes, for the entire Mount Hood community.
Yes. Mount Hood is not just accredited, it's majorly accredited. According to this email from Scotty, I know I'm all over the place a little bit here, but I have this guy who's been, I don't want to say he's been nagging me, but he's been sending me like 3 emails a day asking if he can come observe the show or otherwise glean my knowledge about how to best make it in the radio industry. And I just emailed with like a give up and don't bother and why would you do it and are you high? And he wasn't, to his credit, he wasn't dissuaded. He emailed back, he's like, no, I really want to be in radio. What can you, but this is the great part about it. He sent me like 15 emails asking how to get into radio and could he come watch us do the show and what advice would I give a young hooligan who was looking to get into this business. And I was just like, you know, screw it. You know what? Stay out.
No, the advice is just be willing to work for free for a long period of time.
Well, at least 30 years.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
but you're almost free.
But the thing is, after hearing that from me a few times, he just cut out the middleman and he asked Scotty. And he said, what can you tell me about the best place to go to school for a radio program career? Scotty is a good company man, Scotty replied with, Mount Hood is majorly accredited and has many connections in the industry.
Is that woman on Will and Grace didn't go, and she's getting her own talk show on Coin.
Who?
The woman who played Karen on Will and Grace.
Really?
Yeah. I think I've seen Mulally. Will and Grace 0 times.
That's the lady with a voice like that.
All I know about Will and Grace is that it stars...
Well, it's over with now.
And it's
she's
gone.
Moved on to other things.
And what's her name was just so unbelievably thin. Who is the woman from
Deborah
Will and...
Messing.
Deborah Messing? Could she be thinner? But the guy on Will and Grace who was... What's the guy's name?
John Cryer?
No.
Oh, wait, no, he wasn't on
Two and
that.
A Half Men.
Yeah.
Why do I know that?
I don't know.
Jesus.
I've never watched the program.
That is the CBS
channel. I was just commenting on someone with no experience getting a talk show.
There's that guy from Will and Grace. Will, I think.
Or Grace.
No, not Grace. Grace was Deborah Messing, wasn't it? I've never seen the program in my life.
Okay. It'll be on forever.
Indeed. Well, whatever. Anyway, I was going to say, the only thing I know about Will and Grace is that the guy who played Will, I believe, was in this movie called Free Enterprise. Which is a movie that is really notable only because it has William Shatner rapping William Shakespeare, and it's a whole lot of like to be or not to be, and it's like the worst best thing ever. All right, well there you go. Oh, and Scotty notes that Mount Hood Community College is the best that Oregon offers.
That may very well be true.
How sad that might actually be true.
I think it is true.
Okay. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 4 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11. And this is the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live here from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. I think I need an inhaler. I got kind of a little wheeze going on. And I don't think it's just the cold. I think it's some sort of, it's these allergens.
Every time I walk into this building, I sneeze and my eyes get itchy.
Do you remember how?
I think it's in this room.
I'm telling you, man, it's how it was at Intercom. Remember we walked into it because they built that Intercom, and they made such a big deal of it. God love them. They made such a big deal of it. We built you this studio brand new just for you. But they, like, never bothered to clean any of the dust. And so there was just this sheetrock.
This used to be an asbestos plant.
That's exactly what it was. Just dust and grime and grit and dirt and crap and filth everywhere. And so I would be fine at Intercom until I actually walked into the studio to do the show, and then it was a whole lot of You know, and then my eyes rolled, you know, bloodshot, my nose is all running. It's kind of how it is here. I meant to go to Safeway last night and get one of the little, you know, those things that, you know, the little Primatene mist inhalers or whatever the kids have so they can get, so you know which kids to beat up on the school ground. I failed it. Although now, the more that I think about it, I don't even know if I'd be allowed to buy one. It seems like those might be illegal anyway because they got the drugs or the whatever in them. Because it's a stimulant, isn't it? It's a bronchodilator, which is what the whatever the pseudoephedrine crap was. Well, whatever. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You can also email if you would like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All is right in the world, though, because I have not one but two bottles of Vizo.
Are you going to give me one? You know I'm having a bad day.
No, now listen. You hear that? Can you drop the mono bed just a minute? Just.
Are you going to give me a bottle of Vizo?
Maybe. I want the people to hear this, though. Okay. This is the... Oh, listen, you can hear how light and refreshing it is,
if
can't you?
Only you had one right now.
It's like bottled energy. So I bought two this morning.
Drop whatever you're doing and go to your nearest merchant right now and ask for it by name.
Freedom and slavery! You see, now you're giving me the rabbit eyes or the puppy eyes or whatever that is.
Doesn't really rabbit eyes?
Whatever it is. What is the animal where you give puppy dog eyes? Is that it? It doesn't really work where they're all bloodshot and running.
Anyway.
I swear I look pretty when I leave the house and I get in here and I'm all pasty and sweaty and
yeah.
My eyes.
Doesn't matter. It's raining.
No, it's true. Well, it didn't help that it was raining on the way in.
Yeah.
Right as I was eating.
And it's raining right now.
Coming across the bridge. And I didn't bring my rain gear or anything. And you know, the thing is...
It's not raining everywhere.
Is it raining where you are?
It wasn't when I left.
I've lamented this, that I am such a creature of habit. I have my evenings are so occupied. Like I don't know, I go to bed at whatever, like 11:30. But it's like I really go to bed at like 9 when you think about it. Because starting at 9, I have this whole pre-bed ritual that I have to do. And then it involves doing everything for the next day because I'm so out of it when I wake up. So it involves making my lunch and picking out whatever the hell I'm going to wear. And I know that sounds retarded that I'm picking up my wardrobe, but it's like everything I own is just a shirt with a pentagram on it.
That's the only way I survived at COIN. I would lay out my clothes every day, so all I'd have to do is just jump into them and go.
And it's so hard for me to dress professionally at all. And it would be impossible if I had to do it in the morning. So I I'll iron. And man, it's like, and then I'll iron the shirt, my sort of manager costume, and I'll use the heaviest starch I possibly can because it gets folded up and shoved into my bike, you know, my bicycle bag. But man, it's like you. It looks great when I leave the house. I get here and it's just wrinkle fest. It's unreal.
I'm wrinkle fest when I get here.
No, but I'm saying I swear I look pretty when I leave the house. Well, my clothing is fine when I leave the house, and I get here and it's just one big crimp. It's no good. I don't know how that relates to Vizo or to whatever. Anyway, but I bought two bottles this morning because it's now an elongated program. And it's getting dangerously off track. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program here doing his thing, for which I have an exciting sounder. A sounder that I am prepared with. And here we go. Thank you.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
You know, this is the soundbite they're going to play someday when one of our listeners really does kill somebody. It's going to be like, he often made grim jokes about his listeners killing civilians, such as this soundbite, which he would play on a daily basis. And, like, they'll play that as they're showing, like, a body being taken out of a home somewhere. And then they'll have, like, a big thing of the logo, and they'll get the name of the station right. And then they'll show bouncing meters. How are you, Chris?
You know, it's a long day. I'm glad I also got a bottle of Vizo Vigor.
I gotta start charging those guys.
That's
more.
What I'm drinking right now, Chris.
Really? I don't know what the rate card is at the station right now, but it ought to be higher. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's gonna be about a 12-hour day today.
All right. Well,
and then are you gonna make it to Dante's?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's tonight.
Straight from work. I basically changed my clothes and head down.
Well, that's the thing. Now, am I gonna have to go to Dante's at like 5 to get a seat? That just sucks.
I would tonight.
I thought I was people who knew people. I thought I had connections.
Tonight's going to be another bad one.
Well, I was talking to Susan Reynolds this morning, marketing guru for CBS Radio Portland, about when we're going to start doing Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it later. All right, here's what we're going to get to today. We got a clown watch we're adding. In other words, we had yesterday's clown watch not gotten to, but it turned out that it was right. It was Jesus really wanted us to wait till today, because today we have the best. It's really the headline. The headline is worth the whole thing today. It's the best clown headline I've ever heard. So we'll get to that today. We have Don, one of our listeners who was at a Sunday night's Rockstar Supernova taping, the episode that airs tonight. We'll talk to him about that. We have the Onion Weekly radio address from the president. The Week in Geek. Amanda Moyer will be talking to us from Narlands, as they say. Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune will be here. And Gary Baumgarten, live from Boulder, Colorado, who will rant and seethe and otherwise be filled with black hate about John Mark Carr and so forth. All right, so that's all on the way. Chris, have you got all that?
I do. I have a clown watch. I have Don with the Rockstar recap. Well, sort of.
Precap.
The Onion precap. The Onion Radio News Week in Geek. Amanda Moyer, Gary Baumgarten, and Dennis Bonaducci.
Yes, thank you. That's what I'm talking about. And we will check in with you at the end of the program and see what's gotten to and what's not.
I'll be out here.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Why is it a 12-hour day for him? That doesn't make any sense. Do those guys just have to go until the mail's delivered?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they have, I can't remember what day. Oh, the Advo days, where they have all the advertisements.
Right.
And
oh,
that
takes sucks. Forever. That's Wednesday, isn't it?
Maybe, I don't know. But I remember that would take Justin a really long time.
I should have asked that, actually. I should have asked, is a postman, is it an hour-based job, or is it a whenever you get done, you're done?
I think it's salaried.
But I mean, they come to you every day and they're like, look, so it's just about the mail. Like, if you get all the mail done in 2 hours, you're finished?
If that was possible.
I'm going to ask him tomorrow. Hold on, note to self. I'm going to ask Chris about this tomorrow. Believe it or not, I've gotten some hour or mail. I've gotten a lot of questions about being a postal carrier. And people have sent those in inexplicably. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and blood-covered Sarah X. Dillon and so forth.
Hello.
There's some sort of a carry joke there, but I don't know what it is. Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the Ministry of Truth.
John Carr would like Johnny Depp to play him in a biopic.
Okay, not going to happen.
A fugitive polygamist is arrested in Vegas. Saddam is forced to watch repeated viewings of South Park.
Fantastic.
And children watch in horror as a clown is crushed to death.
Oh. There you go. That's the headline right there. It really doesn't get any better than that. And I think it was at some sort of party. Here's a clown, kids. It's like that story we had the other day where they take the kids to the petting zoo and like one goat killed another one right in front of the children and they had to take the goat out on a stretcher. I love stories about horrible things that happen in front of groups of children. Those warm my heart especially. Anyway, so yes, children watching horror as clown crushed to death in front of them. And I think there was a fire at some point in that story too, so we'll get to that. We can ask Chris sort of as we draw to the close of the program, Scotty. Because I don't want to take him away from his gloom and sleet of night and whatever. Yeah. All right. And so forth. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. One moment. 503-733-2970. That's all coming up. Plus, did I tease that there's something else? Gary Brown, Amanda Moyer, all of that? Well, that's fine. And other stuff that we may or may not get to and whatnot. Oh, and I pointed this out to Tim Riley. Oh, and I got a question about Tim Riley's movie career that I'm going to get to. In fact, I might as well ask this right now.
I have no movie
career. Home? I have no home. Let me, and then we've been stolen from again. I will note that as well. Let's see. This is Tim Riley movie question.
Yes.
Do you remember Tim mentioning that he was in a movie entitled The Crater Lake Monster?
I was not in that movie.
Okay. That was, somebody wondered about that because, nope. Man, because I got The Crater Lake Monster at home on DVD. It's the worst film ever. All right. There you go.
I think somebody else mentions, wasn't Clyde Lewis in that?
No, because it came out of like 1975. He's in that movie where he did it with a cow, though.
What?
He did it with a cow?
Yeah, have you ever seen that film?
No.
Hasn't Clyde made you watch that?
No.
Clyde's in a film where he engages in relations with a cow.
No, he is not.
You think I'm making it up?
Did he really do it?
How much? Yeah, he's a method actor. No, he didn't really do it. Yes, it's a home movie.
Well, you're asking, did it make you watch it?
It's not so much a movie.
They used a body double.
It's not so much a movie as it is a surveillance tape. No, he Hello.
What movie would have him engaging in relations with a cow?
And he's so... I don't want to knock Clyde because Clyde
is... Get some 4-H documentary. Something for the kids.
Well, Clyde just... Never mind. I was going to make the joke about Clyde likes to get behind a good cause. Look, as many of you know, I lived with Clyde for about 6 months when he first moved here in 1999, because I was doing my ill-fated syndicated show, and you know, I brought Clyde up to work on and be the producer and so forth, and he was without a place to live for a while, getting moved here and getting back on his feet and so forth, and so we lived with Clyde for a while, and Clyde is, you know, and I don't mean to knock or to slight Clyde's movie career in any way. Clyde's done some interesting work. He's been in some cool films, you know, nothing really huge or mainstream, but I mean sort of B films.
Get to the cow.
We'll get to the cow in just a moment. But Clyde, as probably most known for being the voice of the Toxic Avenger in the most recent Toxic Avenger film, which is pretty cool. He was in a movie called Nightfall, which is a trauma film, and trauma is sort of the mark of quality. He was where he played a vampire whose head exploded, which is fantastic. Have you seen that?
No.
See, I'm amazed that he hasn't. Here's the thing about Clyde is,
well,
just I'm just saying the thing about Clyde is that Clyde, and I say this as a compliment because it is necessary if you are an entertainer or if you work in the media. Clyde does have a knack for and an enthusiasm for self-promotion. Which
is a very good thing.
Which is a good thing. We all have that.
Everyone should have it. If they don't, well, they're sunk.
That's, but, so, I just sort of took it as an article of faith that if you knew Clyde for more than 5 minutes, he would find a way to get you into a dark room and show you all of the films he's ever been in. Because that's what happened to me. That's what happened to my wife. That's what's happened to any number of people I know. You know, hello, my name is Jim. Hello, my name is Clyde Lewis. Hey, would you like to see the Toxic Avenger? Sit down. You know, and then immediately, like out of an alcove comes one of those things from the AV department, like a with the VCR and the TV, like all tied together. And he says, sit down. I'll get you a soda. Put your feet up. And then then you have to watch the Clyde Lewis Film Festival. So he's in the Toxic Avenger 4 as the voice of Toxie. He is in Nightfall as a vampire whose head explodes. Great special effect, by the way. And then, I swear to God, Clyde is in this movie. He is in this movie called Cage in Box Elder. And Box Elder is a place in Utah. The character's name is Cage. That's where the title comes from. There's a character in the movie named Cage. But Box Elder is a place in Utah. I believe it's in southern Utah, down by those big rock formations.
St. George?
I'm pretty sure. Maybe. I don't actually know Utah all that well. I really only know Salt Lake.
I cracked up there.
That's where your car died, right?
No, I passed out driving in the desert. And I hit
and
a
you were
sign
by
on an opera.
Were you rescued by a Mormon family?
I was, and they helped me bungee. They used some bungee cords and put my car back
were
together.
Were you driving from one low-paying radio gig to another?
No, I was moving to California where there was no gig waiting for a long time.
Gig? I have no gig. But there's a movie called Cage and Box Elder where Clyde Lewis plays an abusive stepfather. And he's just big beard, wears like a lot of red lumberjack flannel, and like beats a child a lot. And I swear to God, there is a sequence in which you see Clyde engaged in familiar relations with a cow. I am not making this up.
After the child beating?
Does it matter?
How would that make it
better or worse?
I'm trying to see how it leads up to
it. As long as one doesn't follow the other over and over. Would it be okay?
If
the other party initiated it, I suppose.
The cow was asking for it.
Just provocative.
The cow was back-sassing
it.
Showing a lot of leg.
I'm very
showing
confused.
A lot of udder, showing a lot of udders. I don't really know what...
How does it go from child beating to cow humping?
He just went outside the door and went into the barn.
Seriously, I mean, the house is right next door to where the livestock is. It's really a shorter walk than you might think. I'm not making excuses for the film. I'm telling you.
Or his actions.
I'm saying you can go watch this film and see Clyde beat a child and engage in familiarity with a piece of livestock. Not that you should. I'm just saying you could. These movies are rentable, I believe. I do believe you can rent these movies. I know if you go to... they probably don't want this kind of endorsement. If you go to Movie Madness, I know that Movie Madness has Nightfall, Which is a decent film. It's a decent B vampire film. And I don't mean, and you know, on the show here, we don't mean B movies are not good. B movies are fine. There's a good place for those. You can rent Nightfall there. I know you can rent Toxic Avenger 4. I think I own Toxic Avenger 4, actually. And I'm pretty sure you can rent Cage and Box Elder. I believe if you go to the Internet Movie Database, Clyde is listed as I believe one of his credits is the Cage and Box Elder film. There you go. I'm not making it up. And the best part is that he didn't warn us about this. And so when he first moved to Portland, he's like, hey, would you like to see the new movie I'm in? Which he had made with a guy named Kevin, who we knew. And I'm like, oh, is this the movie you made with Kevin? He's like, yeah, it's my best work. And I said, really? We'd love to see it. And so we're sitting there on the sofa, and there's really nothing you can do to prepare yourself mentally for this. So had we known, I don't know that the outcome would have been any different. But we're sitting there on the sofa watching this film, which, if I remember correctly, I don't mean to diminish this film, by the way, because my films are crap. So, you know, what am I going to say? You know, what, my films are all like a $5 production value and, you know, just a lot of bad hair. So I don't mean to knock anything. But if I remember correctly, this movie that Clyde is in is about a retarded boy raised by lesbians, and then there's a stepfather somehow who beats him.
And likes cows.
And likes cows. And then at the end, I think he kills somebody and then runs away. It's all kind of blurry now. But my point is that we're sitting there on the sofa, and the cow scene sort of comes about halfway through. Mm-hmm. And it's just sort of a, you know, la, 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 you know, and it's just scorched onto your, you know, it's
how
like that girl.
How long is the scene?
Long and what difference does it make?
How long does it take to
make a
difference? Let me ask you. It's like that girl in Hiroshima that had her dress pattern burnt onto her back. That's how it is onto your eyeballs. You'll never get. I can't wash off the Clyde. Clyde won't come off.
Well, I think the question is, how long is the scene of the act itself?
Yeah.
I don't really remember. Tim, I'll bring it in. You can watch it. It's 503-733-2970.
Wow, Clerks 2 is already playing at McMenamins.
Yeah, well, you know, that movie didn't really perform the way everybody thought it would. It underperformed, and I'm a little disappointed, actually. Kevin Smith's got to be, because there was so much buzz about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the snakes on a plane thing. But, you know, it'll make its money back. I mean, if it hasn't already.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll buy it, and everybody, it's like snakes on a plane. Everybody who was there will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I haven't even had the chance to talk about what I did last night. Are we still in the opening monologue?
Yeah. Yes.
Good Christ.
I've had to repeat it about five times.
That's okay.
Now.
We have 3.5 more hours.
So true. Now with 25% more of everything you inexplicably love. All right. It's 503-733-2970.
Better than the same old comedy cuts over and over again.
It really time. No, it's true. It really is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how often can you hear that? You know, that was that? I like to ask the fan questions that the answer is no to, or whatever that Mitch Hedberg bit is, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, I love him.
Well, I mean, it was a funny bit, and then, like, you know, after...
That's the 17th time.
Yeah, like, after 6 months, you're just like, yes, I understand that. You've got spaghetti and blankets. Okay. You know, it's... I just, you know... Why would I even take this call? Listen to this. Here's who's on hold. Had neighbor with a horse guess the rest. Here's
no.
The thing. No. No, the answer is no to
call
that,
Scotty. Call Lars. He likes stories like that.
Please, please call Lars with
that. And tell him to talk about House Bill 39.
Okay, don't hang up on her, Scotty. Seriously, call Lars with that. Call Lars with that and tape it and send it to us. All right. Yeah, don't let go. You keep her on hold, Scotty. Yeah, we've got a mission for her. Well, we should break. We'll break. We'll come back with CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. We'll talk to... We'll talk to Pat here, and we've got some more. We'll try to get to that Ron Popeil thing as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See, the voice is coming back.
What would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 today?
The voice? I'd say an 8.
Better than the 7.5 it was yesterday?
Yeah, I'd say an 8. You know, the problem is not so much the voice now. The problem is, again, it's... Oh, gross.
I don't want to hear about it. Seriously, you're already in here coughing. I don't want to hear about what's coming out of your mouth when you're coughing.
I was just going to say that I'm blowing my nose a lot.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about phlegm again.
No. But I mean, I have, you know, some lung congestion, but I'm not going to be a, go on and on and on about it.
No.
Let's see. Rick, strangely, you can still buy Primatene Mist in unlimited quantities, even though they contain more stimulants than an entire case of Sudafed. Really, you could mainline angel dust and your heart would beat less than on a couple shots of Primatene. Trust me, I am of the wheezing peoples. Oh, this is, that's Aaron. Yeah, Aaron's he's like the full-on,
you've got all the geek syndrome.
Fifth grade Dungeons and Dragons asthma. Yeah. The thing about asthma is, what sucks about asthma, which I don't really have, like I kind of got like a temporary case of the wheezing now because of whatever, the cold and the hay fever and so forth. But like my brother was a kid, my brother had really bad asthma. And the problem with asthma is that no one believes it's real. Everybody thinks that you're faking it somehow. Like, if you've got asthma, and you know this pain, that if you grew up and you had asthma, everybody thought that you were just like a pansy who didn't want to go to PE class. That's it. And you would, like, get the much-cherished note from the doctor, and people would still think you were faking. Okay. Okay, well, let me do that. Okay, so we'll get Pat here in a second. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from Boulder, Colorado. New York City. Oh, well, he's headed back to New York. It still works.
Sure he is. Thanks for the heads up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Baumgarten, how are you, sir?
Hey, your voice is good enough to do Let's Get Ready to Rumble with Gary. So.
Well, I'm on the comeback trail.
That's
I'm feeling
right.
better.
I'm back, kid.
So are you leaving Boulder or are you headed back?
You know, I'm having them hold the plane just for you.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. While you were there covering this sort of aborted the prosecution of John Mark Carr, which, of course, is not going to happen because he's a lying nutcase.
Right.
My wife actually asked me something last night, which I had not really considered, which is we are sort of, you know, we're all kind of slagging on the DA and all of the authorities in Boulder and all this. But
right.
She actually asked this question. She said, and I didn't have an answer. She said, what choice did they really have? She's like, what if some guy who's living in Thailand, who has a child porn past, starts saying he killed JonBenet Ramsey, and then, like, nobody does anything about it, and they don't bring him back? Like, wouldn't they be equally slagged? So I guess my question is, did they have a choice with anything they did?
Well, I think the biggest error that she probably made, in my opinion, in reviewing it and after listening to her response to the questions today, is that she called a news conference to say they got this guy.
Did? Now, see, is that the case? Because I didn't see that, so I don't know.
Right. So, you know, that touched off this media frenzy. And perhaps they should have done it under the radar, and it would have been a more circumspect way to go. And then if the DNA matched, then call your news conference.
Right, but instead of like calling him out right at the very beginning.
Yeah, so you have this dog and pony show that started in Thailand with, you know, where he's talking to the reporters there. Now, I don't know, maybe the media, maybe the cops in Thailand, you know, snitched it out too. You don't know, but still, the problem she had was that when they surreptitiously took items that he came in contact with in order to get the DNA there in Thailand, they were unable to get a complete match. It was called a mix match of DNA.
Wow.
So in other words, I guess that means that there was more than one person's DNA potentially on that item.
Well, I mean, isn't it like a given that the DNA is kind of useless because it's so corrupted at this point, regardless?
There was one piece of DNA that they were able to preserve using technology that was developed after the murder occurred, that they were able to get, I think it was 11 out of 13 markers. So that's good enough to get a pretty conclusive match with somebody, which they haven't done yet, obviously.
So my next question is, because I talked to Roop about this yesterday, and we were kind of unclear about this. So he is being sent back to, what is it, Sonoma, California, to face these kiddie porn charges?
Well, at 4 o'clock Mountain Time today, there's going to be a hearing, an extradition hearing, and nobody questions but that he'll be eventually sent back. If he decides not to fight extradition, then it'll be done real quickly. If not, it might take a week or 10 days or something, but they don't want to hold him unnecessarily long, having not been charged, except in California, on a misdemeanor. Normally, you wouldn't extradite somebody on a misdemeanor like this, but of course, this is an exceptional case.
What is he saying? This child porn thing is a misdemeanor?
Yeah, because it was possession of. It wasn't like he was...
How is it possible that possession of child pornography is only a misdemeanor? I mean, I know I'm asking the wrong guy.
Ask Roop. Because of California. It's the law in California, but it's apparently a misdemeanor, and normally, you know, you don't extradite somebody on a misdemeanor, so.
Seriously, you know, I think at this point, somebody said the best thing we could possibly do is just to ship the guy back to Thailand, where he's clearly wanted on something. And let them sort it out.
Well, you know, CNN's legal expert, Jeffrey Toobin, suggested that given the time he has spent in jail, I guess there's a possibility that even if convicted on the child pornography, since it's a misdemeanor, he might actually walk.
I mean, can't they... is it possible that this guy could be found guilty of... I'm just so desperate to put this guy in prison for some reason, because he's a freak. Is it possible that they could nail him for filing a... I guess he didn't file a report, though. They came to him, didn't they?
Right. He was on the phone with a University of Colorado professor for a long time. First email and then phone for 4 years, building up this story. And the prosecutor says, look, he believed that he did it. And she believes that he still believes that he did it, but she says clearly he did not.
All right. Well, okay. Well, I guess we'll follow up with Rube probably tomorrow as they shake this thing out. So have a good flight, my friend, and we will talk to you again when you are in the Big Apple there.
Well, maybe before I get to the Big Apple, because I may be chasing a storm from here.
Really? Is that true?
Yep.
Is this like an actual real story? Are you speaking figuratively, or is this a real story?
No, Ernesto.
That's okay. So now, are they going to be sending you down there, or are you just going to be tracking it from wherever you are, like in midair?
They are sending me to Atlanta to wine and dine me, as, you know, CNN...
Of course.
You know, would have to do with...
They spare no expense.
Course, with a correspondent such as me, of course.
Yes, of course.
And then I guess tomorrow I'm going to the Carolinas, because it's making landfall tonight in Florida, and then they say it could loop out... How do they do this? I don't know. How they figure this, but they figure it's going to loop out into the Atlantic and then make landfall a second time in the Carolinas.
It's just because they're making stuff up. That's how they know it. So
could be.
All right, my friend. Well, have a good flight regardless. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, there you go. Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen, in the airport at Boulder, Colorado.
That was his happy all twin right. brother.
You know what it is? It's because yesterday he was just all, like, enraged and whatever. He's really, I'm not going to say he's manic depressive, but he is kind of a... Gary does have his mood swings. Not mood swings, that's an unfair way to put it, but he has sort of peaks and valleys. He has moments where he sort of spikes his anger. All right, well, I guess we'll go ahead and... Hello, Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Good to hear you're feeling better.
Thank you so much.
I'm calling mainly... I did call to talk about the cow thing, but how do you say you're not taking that call? But
Really, what else is there to say on such a subject?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But I wanted to thank you because your show just, I have a very stressful job. I'm a nurse, and I listen to your show when I'm off, or my husband tapes it, and I listen to it when I come home, and it just makes me giggle. I learn a lot, and I agree with about 95% of everything that you say.
What could you possibly learn from this program other than that Clyde was in some sort of a film that you probably want to shut your eyes during?
See, you're doing it again. You're making me giggle. I like that.
That's what I do. All right. Well, Pat.
And I tell everybody about your show. I tell them to listen to it. It's really great.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. And do me a favor. You get a free moment today. You call Lars with that horse story. But here's the thing: is you can. I know I'm not telling
you.
You
gotta get through the call screener.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to lie or to deceive the call screener. That would be wrong. I'm simply saying. You might downplay the horse aspect of this and your neighbor. Now, again, wait, I don't want to really dwell on this or become graphic, but are you saying that you had or have a neighbor with a special love for animals?
We had a neighbor when we lived in Newport, and he practiced animal husbandry with his horse.
Oh.
So hideous. Animal husbandry.
Yes.
I won't
go any further. Use your imagination.
Okay. No! See, that's where you don't want your imagination to kick in, but then it does. You might call Lars and just sort of say that you want to talk about... You might weigh in on how you feel that Our president has done a fine job with the hurricane victims, and you feel it is, it's unfair how the liberal media has looked for any opportunity to blame the federal government when really this is a state's rights issue, and then slip in, neighbor, horse.
I don't think I could get that out without barfing.
Well, you know, that would be entertaining as well. All right, thank you. Keep spreading the word, Pat.
Okay,
all
bye.
Right, there you go. That's Pat. There you go. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. So we'll do a few more things. We got a break, and then coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have the noon news hour. Let me read a few of these. I got these storm emails. Oh, and by the way, we have been stolen from again. Let me see if I can find this. Let's see, Rick, why is Sarah covered in blood? We never really did adequately explain that. I said at the top of the hour that this is how I was greeted this morning, was by Sarah saying, I woke up this morning and my foot was covered in blood. And then you just sort of stumped off down the hallway, sort of dragging your foot behind you Renfield style.
Well, I had a pretty crappy night last night anyway, and then to top it all off, my drunk friend whose birthday it was decided to tackle me out in front of Cibala's and landed on top of me.
You should just, now no offense, but you should just stay away from that place. No offense to Jason Cibala. Every time you go there, something bad happens.
I was going home. I was outside on the sidewalk.
Why is your foot, so it's your blood?
Yeah, it's my blood. I didn't realize I'd scraped it. So he knocked me over. I was wearing my platforms, and he knocked me over, and I totally cut up on the side of my, I was dreaming last night that my foot was in pain, and I didn't really put two and two together, and then I, you know, took off my covers this morning and saw it, and it was all bloody.
Sort of like
gross.
The horse's head?
Well, it was all brown, because it was all like caked, the blood was all dry.
Oh, and I can't talk about my coughing up a phlegm.
It hurts. You
can talk about coagulated blood in your bed.
It's really hurting right now.
Yeah, you're limping.
Yeah.
It's not broken, is it?
I don't think so. I can move my toes.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. That just means you're not paralyzed.
Oh.
Your ability to move toes means nothing. You can move a broken foot, can't you? Sound like a song. You can move a broken foot. I don't even know. You always hear about the people who have broken bones, though, and they don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And then it, like those Christian Science kids, where it's, you know, no, God will fix your arm. And then you see them, and their arm's like a Z years later. I don't really know how one would ascertain. Well, I mean, is it like a shooting
you
pain?
You want to see it?
No. Is it like a shooting pain?
I'll show it to you.
Is it still covered in blood?
Yes. No, I washed it off.
All right, let me see. Now, when you stand on it, would you say the pain is more of a throb or more of a shooting pain? Oh, that's not that bad.
No, but
yeah. Well, maybe it's just a broken toe. Maybe it's just a whole foot. Maybe it's just a toe.
Well, what pisses me off the most is that he ruined my shoes. Those are my favorite shoes.
Okay. Ow. Not that you woke up covered in coagulated goo.
No, not that.
All right. So a bit of a bad night for you all the way around.
Oh, yeah, and that was after I had a wonderful day with my boyfriend who decided to leave me at the Corner Mart.
Corner Mart.
Yes. I just swung by there and got to have the whole white trash argument of him peeling out and me walking home.
What is the Corner Mart? Is it that place by the Hawthorne Liquor Store?
No, well, it's on 41st and Hawthorne.
Right, okay. It's that Asian place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in there. That's where the guy glares at you and... Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe he likes you. I walk in there, and that's that guy. The Corner Mart, and again, I'm not saying this is not a cultural reference. I'm just saying that sometimes convenience store owners are real nice, but it's like, here's the thing.
Well, you probably look like you're going to steal something.
Well, that's it. And I'm always in there looking all grungy and sweaty with a black T-shirt on. But in my experience, the smaller and more independently owned a convenience store is, the more aggressive they are with their customers. Like, there's this convenience store on... 39th and about Belmont. It's right across from, it's either Rite Aid or Walgreens. I can never tell Rite Aid and Walgreens apart. But there's one of them. It is a convenience store right there, right as you get towards Belmont on 39th. And man, the same thing. You walk in that, I'm not in that place 17 seconds. And immediately, I help you, what you come to buy? You know, and I'm just, I don't know. And sometimes you go into a convenience store and I think it must be because people who browse in a convenience store are almost always high. That's the thing. Because when you go to a convenience store, there are only two modes. When you go to a convenience store, usually, I would say 80% of the time, it's for a very specific purpose. You are going in there to buy something very finite, and you know what it is. I need hubcaps for a 1972 Pinto. You know, whatever. What do you need? I need a cup of coffee. You know, I need some Advil. You know, I need a whatever. In the other mode, when you go into a convenience store, is that it's around 1:30 in the morning and you've been drinking and doing drugs with your friends and you've decided that you need something, but you're not sure what. And every place else is closed. And so you just go into the convenience store and you just wander up and down the sad little dusty aisles for like 35 minutes. And so they must get tired of just seeing, especially in that part of town, just seeing stoned out hippies is wandering up and down the aisles all the time. So I wander in there and it's like if I don't pick out an item within like the first 5.5 seconds, the guy was, what can I help you with? You buy, you go, you know, and so, anyway, and of course, it's one of those great convenience stores. It's not, because 7-Eleven is sort of the gold standard of the convenience store, and then there's the Plaid Pantry, and then that Corner Mart, and I know exactly what you're talking
the
about.
It's got, market.
And
yeah.
It's got bars on the windows.
It does.
Yeah, that's how you know you're shopping at a quality place in a fine neighborhood. So, all right. Well, I'm not going to prod.
Oh, no, you can. It's just another niche. And, I don't know. You know when you think someone's changed and then they just disappoint you all over again?
Are we talking about me?
No.
Okay.
We're talking about the guy I'm dating. I gave you the piece of paper.
I know, but I haven't. Here, this is so awkward. Here's what. Okay.
Here's we have a little bit of time to kill.
So, there's really no easy way to talk about this. So I have here in my hands, and I have not read this, by the way. I have not opened this. It is closed. I have here a piece of paper that Sarah gave me. That is, it's obviously a computer printout of something. It is folded over once, so it's closed, so you have to open it to read it. And it just says, and I will have to just, I'll clean this up for the radio, but scrawled in huge letters is the word bull, you know, crap, BS, is written on this and he was like angrily and then like slammed down on my desk. And this is what you were, because you sort of alluded to this earlier.
Yeah, well, this all happened yesterday.
There are no, but see, this is moments where we need Jolie, because I don't know.
I need help because I don't know what to do.
And this, I have no Jolie skills at all, but
well,
I.
Well, you have.
Here's the thing, see, here's the thing, is that it seems to me, I think if you're going to work at a job like this or in this sort of career, I think that you should either just be single or just, and this is everybody, or just cut the ears off the person you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so rare that you can do this kind of a show and not have it have some horrible repercussions on your personal life.
Well, this isn't even the show. This is the internet. Oh, it's just so obnoxious. All right, can I tell you what happened?
You gave me kind of the broad strokes, but there was something written about you on a message board.
No.
Or on his message board.
All right, so you know how we got here super early yesterday to start the show at 11?
Right.
So I was here at like, you know, before 9. Got here, I'm like, oh, tinkering around on the internet. Then I remembered that, oh, Nate has a LiveJournal account. Here it goes. Public forum, public thing.
I'll go read it.
I think maybe I'll, yeah, I thought maybe I'd browse it.
And is this a private site? Is this
nope,
sort of
it
a,
is
this
not is, a private site.
Because, you know, so this is not like you're looking through a journal, like, nope. Like a diary.
No, it isn't
something.
Anything hidden. It's out there for the public to see. And then, like, all the other LiveJournal people can put their comments and whatnot. So
it's like a MySpace page.
Yes. All and right. So let's back up a little bit. Nate dated this girl about 6 years ago.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so we were talking a few weeks ago. He's like, oh, I don't have any contact with her anymore. It's fine. Haven't talked to her in a long time. So looking
Baby,
on this thing.
I don't even remember her name.
Exactly. So looking on the LiveJournal thing, I'm like, oh, he would never lie to me. He wouldn't hide anything from me. Look at him like, oh, that's funny. They are writing little comments back and forth to each other on their LiveJournal pages.
Bam!
Yep, including this one where she said that her and her friends were, their picture was in a magazine. She's like, oh, yeah, you guys should see the hot picture of me and my friends. And he wrote a comment on it that said, post the hot picture so we can see it. I'm like,
and when is this happening, this conversation?
I guess it was like a week ago. I just saw it yesterday. So I inquired about it. And he's like, oh, I realized that was inappropriate. Sorry, I deleted it. And all of a sudden, he's like, you're creepy. You're stalking me. Why are you spying on me? For no apparent reason, spazzed out because he posts all of his thoughts and everything on a public forum that I happen to look at, I'm spying on him.
No, but again, so this is, now you weren't logged in as him. This isn't a thing where logging in as
you
his.
Just, no, if you just go to LiveJournal, you can look at anybody's.
Attention, listeners. If you were to go to LiveJournal right
now, it.
You can read it today.
You sure could.
But I mean, not that I'm probably not going to, but I mean, this is a thing like I could type it in and read it right now. It's
yes.
Not.
Not logged in. I did not go through his personal
stuff.
So it's a
publicly accessible thing.
I was talking to my friend Lisa last night, and she had just looked at his LiveJournal the other day, and she's not a member, and
so
you can just look at it.
Now, is he just, has he expressly forbidden you in the past to read it?
No, and you know what? And you can set it up to be a private account. You can set it up to only have your friends read it, not have it public where everyone can look at it.
And so did he set it up to be a private account?
No, he did not. He left it public. So I get scorned and reprimanded because I'm spying on him and doing all the stuff. I'm like, I'm sorry, I was just killing some time. And plus, what are you trying to hide from me anyway if I can't look at something you're writing on a public forum?
Seriously.
So, ridiculous, huge argument. He's all, you can't look at it unless you're a LiveJournal member and, you know, put your comments on. Just got completely high and mighty for no reason.
Is this whole argument happening at the Hawthorne convenience store?
No, it was happening. We went out to dinner for my friend's birthday who ended up breaking my foot.
Sad. That would just be sad if you were, like, right there in the sugar wafer aisle or something.
No, well, it was on the way over there. And then when I got out, I'm like, you know, maybe this wouldn't happen if you didn't have to post all of your thoughts for everyone else to comment on. And then shut the door and he peeled away. So I looked all cute last night. I'm wearing like a nice little polka dot dress and my platforms. I had to walk 20 blocks.
Dissed at the corner mart on Hawthorne.
You know what? He wouldn't be running away and causing a scene if he didn't know that he was wrong.
Here's why we need Jolie here.
Because the bottom line is that he has told me that he did not have any contact with his ex-girlfriend. Lo and behold, they're commenting back and forth on like the events of each other's lives on LiveJournal.
I can hear the tectonic shifts happening right now.
So anyway, yeah, turned into a huge ordeal. He's all mad, and then he posted this today.
See, but this is what you've handed me, and I haven't. This is like when you hand me storm spoilers, and they're all folded up. And you know that it's wrong to do this because you know that it just sits there and calls to me.
I know. Actually, one of my friends sent that to me. They're like, oh, you should probably see this.
So this is whatever he wrote about it today.
This is what he wrote about it today.
And
it's kind of embarrassing, too, because I've been dating this guy for almost a year, and he feels the need to try and embarrass me on LiveJournal.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I will say, now, in Nate's defense, I will say that we talk about a lot of stuff on, I mean, he gets talked about here. That's the thing.
We do, and I don't hide anything from him. I'm not hiding it.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point, and we also don't claim that the show is a private forum.
Exactly. You know what? And anyone can listen to it. Anyone can comment.
That's why I told you, and this is like when you were dating Justin, and I gave you, I remember, didn't Bruce do this too? Bruce Agler, old PD? Because we have this standard, and I know I did this with Scotty when Scotty got the job here. I know that we sat him down and we're like, don't let your wife listen. Don't let your friends listen.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't, you know, whatever. Anybody we talk to, girlfriend, boyfriend, don't. And if they do listen, you have to explain to them that there is the show bubble and they can't freak out about it and they can't go mental about it and whatever. And the other thing is don't let your friends, you know, don't, if you have a boyfriend, don't let your boyfriend's friends talk about it. If you have a girlfriend, don't let her friends talk about it because everything gets all misconstrued and whatnot. And so, well,
yeah,
it's just
overwhelmingly awkward because it's turned into this huge thing where all of a sudden, like, I'm spying on him and snooping and going through all this stuff. When he posts all this stuff for other people to comment on or even just to look at, if you're just browsing the internet, you can just look at it. You don't have to sign up for anything.
It's just all tricky for me because I like Nate. I do. I don't want to be all.
And I'm just disappointed.
I'm just saying from my perspective, there is a difference between something that is personal, like a personal journal or a diary, which I would never read, or a personal, like, email, like a personal correspondence. Mm-hmm. Like, if something, there's that phrase they use in the law about reasonable expectation of privacy. Because I think couples have that. I mean, even within a couple, you know, people have private thoughts. And people have, you know, stuff that they don't want to share with everybody. And so I am completely and fully aware of that. So in myself, and I think everybody does this, you draw a distinction between something that is private, which is like a private journal, you know, or a private diary, or whatever. I don't know the guys keep journal, whatever the guy equivalent of that is. Or, you know, letters that you're sending to somebody. That's all different than, like, that is, for instance, separate from, like, this. Or a MySpace page. Which everybody can read. And the thing is, I knew a friend whose teenage daughter had a MySpace page, and the daughter had posted some stuff about, and then I went out and I got high and had sex with 15 hockey players, and, you know, whatever. That, like, the daughter was, it was like the Marie Osmond thing, where the daughter was confessing, to all of this, like, hideous debauchery, and the mom read it, and you got it, that's the thing, and that's the other thing, is if you got something that's a public, Like, if you got a MySpace page or a LiveJournal page, you got to know that people are going to read it.
And that's why I don't write anything personal on the Internet.
I mean, the first words of World Wide Web are world and wide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knows that. I'm not trying to pick on, I'm not picking on Nate or anything here, or anybody. I'm just saying there's a difference between something that's public and something that's private. And if something is private, like if you had been rummaging through his sock drawer,
yes,
that's one thing. But it doesn't sound like that.
And that's what he's comparing it to. He's comparing it to me going through his drawers. I'm like, I have always respected your privacy. And you know what? You put this on a public forum and then start calling me names like I'm spying on you and I don't trust you. It's like, well, why are you reacting this way? I mean,
right.
Obviously.
Now, if he had told you that he was talking to the girl, would you have freaked out?
No, that would be fine. It was just the fact that he had lied about it. He had told me a couple weeks ago that he hadn't had any correspondence. And not only are they corresponding, like, they're writing comments back and forth to each other.
Yeah. All right. Let's welcome to the Rick and Rissa show our good friend, Kristen, from accounting, who joins us
now.
Hi,
Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi, kid.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. And in lieu of Jolie being here, I'm here to give you some actual good advice.
I need some help.
Well, you know...
And I'm no good.
It is hard. I agree with Rick because, you know, I love Nate dearly, and I love you dearly, and you're both wonderful people. But I do have to agree with you, Sarah, that it would be one thing if you were at his house, like logging onto his computer as him and saying, ooh, I wonder what he's talking about on his private, you know, email.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a like you were talking about. It's a public forum, and he's commenting to other people, other friends, and, you know, this other girl, obviously. And if he really didn't have, I don't want to say he has feelings for her, but if it truly wasn't something that he would be, that you would be jealous about,
mm-hmm.
then he wouldn't be reacting this way.
He is having a huge overreaction. He's like, you know, why are you freaking out about somebody that I dated 6 years ago? I'm like, why do you still feel the need to comment on everything that she writes in her live journal then?
So he's obviously feeling some guilt that he's doing that and that you found out about it. And it has nothing. You shouldn't feel badly about.
I don't think there's any reason to apologize for reading a public document.
No, and he's sort of mean saying, how dare you invade my privacy? It's like you're rifling through my drawers.
It's on the Internet.
It is
I can
on the
read
internet.
It from right here.
And it's like talking to a wall every time. I'm like, it's a public forum. It's a public forum. He's like, you need to be a member. If you're going to read it, you should comment on it. It's like, I don't understand.
And you need to.
Yes, you haven't passed the rigorous test of that is the LiveJournal free registration process.
And you need to, you know, when you do sit down and talk to him about this, after you've all calmed down, you need to tell him that, you know, I can't help it. If you're dating me, then we need to have an understanding that, you know, I don't care if you talk to other, you know, ex-girlfriends or this or that, but you need to be upfront about it. Because otherwise, of course, I do feel as if you're sneaking around behind my back, whether there's something going on or not.
Here's the only problem.
Being deceptive is not good.
I'm just saying, and we can talk more about this later, but the problem as I see it is that if you get pissed off at somebody for reading, I mean, something that is published to the whole world, something that anybody, because Scotty was just asking me on the... he was just typing. He said, "Is this something anybody could read, or just Sarah?" And
you could read it right this second.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
Unless he just changed it to private because we're talking about it.
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't have to log in as him or lie or do anything.
You just go livejournal.com/Nate and his last name.
Right, and it was right there for
and
anybody
it's
to see.
Right
so
there.
Anybody, literally anybody in the world could have read it. And so the problem is freaking out about that. Oh, so he's noting that only Sarah isn't allowed to look at it, supposedly.
Only me. That's what I'm
saying.
Which
is weird, and that's kind of effed up, too.
It is, because
there's
only
6 billion people, and only Sarah cannot read it.
Yep. That's what I was saying. I'm like, so everyone else can comment on it but your girlfriend. That's really cool.
Especially because you don't forbid him to listen to the program.
Yep, and especially since he writes you constantly during the show, and he's always commenting.
Hi, Nate.
That won't be. Hello. That won't be awkward. My only point is that if you freak out about somebody reading something, which is a public document, which by definition you publish to the whole world, then it diminishes a true violation of privacy. Like if somebody is reading your private correspondence, mm-hmm. your private diary, your private journal.
Well, what really hurts my feelings is that now he's making it seem like I've been doing this all the time, when in fact, like, the comments that I was upset about were like a couple weeks ago. I haven't looked at this thing in a really long time. And like, for example, today my friend sent me his posting today where he wrote this: my girlfriend's been reading my journal. I wouldn't mind, except she doesn't keep one. That is to say, she reads stuff I write about and comments on it to me, but doesn't have an account here. This is one time that I've brought it up, and he's making it seem like I'm constantly reading it and bringing up things when, in fact, I just wanted to be honest with him and, you know, bring up the fact that it made me uncomfortable.
Well, and the fact that you don't want to air your dirty laundry on a worldwide web site.
It's embarrassing for me, yeah, because he writes about, you know, like who I am and where I work, and then he writes, like, embarrassing things like this, like, oh, it's creepy that she's reading it and I'm, you know, I'm pissed at her and
he's
blah, blah, blah.
Trying to turn it around on you because, again, like I said before, he's feeling guilty about it, so it's like you're trying to put it on Sarah as something being her fault, and it's really not. You're just expressing that you're uncomfortable with, you know, him talking to this woman and then lying to you about it.
Let's see. I've just got all these emails, and none of these emails are really going to be any help because they all contain variations on, like, kick to the curb and blah, 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 blah.
No, you can't do that. You just have to talk. I mean, like I'm always saying, you have to talk to people. That's all.
You know, Nate, it's just so difficult because I think he's an adult, and then all of a sudden he does something like this, and it's like, what are you doing?
Well, all men do that.
Okay, well, Todd the Corpse has a good point. He says, Rick, it seems odd that he would tell Sarah that she needs to become a member to comment on what he's writing, as opposed to commenting to him in real life, you know, in person.
Did you date? Yeah.
Would it be different to him for Sarah to be commenting online only? That's a good point.
That's what he said. He's like, if you want to read it, you register as a user, and then you can comment.
And then come into my secret lair. See, that is weird. I never really thought about that before. That he wants you to register at...
Although,
do you suppose he just works for LiveJournal and this is like his way of ratcheting up the membership?
I can understand it, though, because men do have such a hard time expressing themselves emotionally.
Wasn't Nate the one who was making fun of me for saying that, for talking about the high-definition graphics in Halo 2? And he was like, you know, if you go outside, everything's in HD and 3D, Rick.
Obviously, I'm not as important as his computer friend.
You don't have at as your middle name. Doesn't it seem like commenting to him in real life, you know, like face-to-face, is actually the same thing or even better?
Well, but, you know, in my experience, a lot of men have difficulty saying that. They have a hard time looking their girlfriends or significant others in the face and saying, you know, I feel this way. Or, you know, they have a hard time expressing themselves.
Well, what's weird?
It is easier to write it.
This email says, this is like Hillary being pissed at Bill for something in his book. How dare you read my autobiography?
I don't know, because it's not like he was hiding anything that he's written. Like, he does tell me everything that's on there, so nothing's secretive except for the fact that
he
told me.
And you would respect something if it was a private.
If it was such a private
forum,
I wouldn't even look at it. I mean, because I couldn't, and
right.
I wouldn't desire to, because
right.
This is something that he's obviously sharing with other people.
Hey, Rick. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Sarah, you know, I am a happily married guy. I've been with my wife, married for 7 years, been together for 10. And it comes back to a whole trust issue. He violated your trust by lying to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife sees her ex-boyfriend occasionally, but she's open about it, she's honest about it, and I trust her. Nothing's going to happen, you know?
It's also lying.
That's true. It just really caught me off guard that I'd been told that this wasn't going on, and then to see the comments back and forth, and then to be yelled at because it's obviously my fault and not his.
Right.
Yeah.
It's your fault for turning on your computer and logging onto a public site.
Well, that's what I keep going back to. Is it something meant to be read by everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in my opinion...
It's not like you went through his dresser drawers and pulled out his diary and...
Yeah, which in my opinion would be like you coming here and saying, not that you smoke, but if you did, Sarah, it would be like if you came on the air and was like, well, I snuck a cigarette yesterday, and then him, you know, saying, hey, I heard you talking about the smoking a cigarette, and you're like, how dare you? Don't turn on the radio!
And
you know?
This. Right.
I mean, we always joke about that, like, when you get this job, you should tell your significant other, like, you probably shouldn't listen. But at the same time, it's like, it's on the radio.
Better listen to it, because if you hear it secondhand or thirdhand,
it's
going to get messed up.
Well, and not only that, but more to the point, that, like, the radio, this is a public forum. It's a bit, we've got a huge transmitter. It's a thing meant to be heard by people.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you, Ethan.
Okay, and the one thing Nate's obsessing about, too, is the fact that I have these three gay friends in Seattle that when I went to visit my sister this weekend, Mario, Tyler, and Will, all hung out with them.
You know, Tyler, and Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
My friend Tyler's coming to town this weekend. Anyway, so we were all drunk and, like, taking pictures, and with, you know, with gay men, sometimes you well, I kiss my gay friends. And so I took a picture, you know, of Mario and I doing a fake little, like, pet kissy thing. Nate is considering it me cheating on him because Mario's been gay since the day he's
kissing
born.
Kissing a gay man.
Kissing a gay man. So he's just writing me saying, tell him about making out with that other guy. I'm like, that was a peck that I showed you on my phone because I thought it was funny with me and Mario. Obviously, it wasn't funny. Obviously, now he's not gay and I was making out with him, but...
You've changed him. You've turned him.
He's just afraid that Mario is a better kisser.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh. Was he?
Rick.
Now, hello, George. Wait, hold on. I got to find the... this is my... With the whole and the...
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George in Wilsonville, what's up?
Thank you. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Hey, George, how are you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I have no ulterior motive here, but I am kind of drifting towards the kick him to the curb kind of guy, because aren't we supposed to be compatible if we're a couple, you know? A couple should ideally be compatible.
And that's what...
Let's work.
Yeah, that's what hurt me the worst is that, you know, this is the person that I tell a lot of my own private stuff to, and then I bring up something like an online journal, and I'm completely shunted. Like, I am not allowed to talk about it, not allowed to bring it up, and he doesn't want to share it with me.
I just am intrigued by the idea that 5.5 billion people can read it, but not you.
Right, and speaking of 5.5 billion, there must be at least 500,000 guys that would be a better match for you. They would love to be your significant other.
All right, back of the line, sir.
No, I'm happily married for 20 uh-huh. plus years.
So. Okay.
Right. I'm just giving you my advice. It shouldn't be this way. People always say relationships are work. That's bull. A good relationship is not work. It's like breathing.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
that's
George.
What you should be trying for, Sarah. Take care.
All right. There you go.
Too.
That's it, George. And Sarah's telling me a little bit this before the show. And
well, because I was really
put it off.
I was really upset about it, and I know like if I don't bring something up,
it just festers and just sits and just boils.
Exactly.
And, yeah. It's. Yeah.
And as soon as my friend sent me this morning, I was just like.
Well, and everybody, and Scott, hold on, let me do this with the thing and the so forth. And
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hello, Scotty J.
Hello, how's
All right,
going?
Sir. And Scotty is sort of screening the calls on this. And Scotty keeps typing on the... Where is this live journal page? What is
how everybody wants to read.
Yeah, but I... see, now you, Sarah, I would think
I'm
long and...
Scotty.
Think long
Scotty,
and hard
you
before you do that.
With that.
Oh, well.
And it might not even, I don't know.
Seriously,
think
long and hard before you do that.
I haven't looked at it online today. Somebody sent this to me. I don't know if they're a registered user or not, so I don't know if it's set to private yet or not.
I don't know if they've received it.
So I don't know if you can go there.
Admin invite.
We had several calls that said, hey, how do I find this? Well, I'm trying to look
at it.
No, I don't
that, see, that's yeah, what I'm
were.
Saying. Now, because, I don't know, it's probably set to private by now anyway. So, which is different, see? And that.
See, and now
see
I don't
that,
care.
And that one little thing makes it, well, you do
have
care,
you, well,
but, you all, but you respect the difference, though.
Well, unfortunately, now I know that he was lying to me about keeping in touch with his ex-girlfriend, and bam! Now I probably won't be able to see it. So.
That's like
all I can say is I had
saying.
Issues like this years ago in my marriage, and it's not good. So, I don't think you should have stuff hidden from you.
That's how I
That's
feel.
That's all.
Well, because now once the trust has been broken, like Ethan was just saying, you know, now it's like you wouldn't have cared before, but now that you know he's kind of fibbed a little bit to you, it's not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what a big pick-me-up.
Are you going to Dante's tonight, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there early.
Who wants to drink?
I know. Let's meet very early.
Yeah. I'll be there, so you just come down.
One less chair to save.
See Mama Kristen, and
okay.
I'll take care of you.
All right.
Thank you, Kristen.
All right, thank you, Kristen.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. All right, well, I'm
should,
sure...
Should we allow Scotty to take a break and go down and get a sandwich? He's a little late on that, answering all these calls.
What?
Scotty's a little bit late in picking up his lunch downstairs.
His lunch or your lunch?
His.
Oh, his lunch can wait. He doesn't need to eat. He's going to be, Scotty's going to be here late today because we're talking, we're having a meeting today.
You're having the talk, the intern
today,
talk?
Yes, we're having the talk about when men and women hug each other. This afternoon, Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru, and I, we're meeting with Scotty J to talk about his future. And not in a bad way, but just to say, because it's like August, whatever the hell it is, 30th, 29th?
29th.
Mm-hmm. And so we're coming up. It's like a month from now that Scotty's internship runs out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What happens after that?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. That's the issue we're going to address.
Scotty, start work. Think of something good to say.
Yeah, seriously. We're going to figure out, where Scotty's going to go after this, what he wants to do in his crazy.
Sell yourself. Get that $40,000 a year job in radio.
Yeah, you do that. You let us know. Just in time for your retirement. In any event. All right. Well, should we break here?
Yes.
Yeah, we're very late.
All right.
Sorry, I didn't mean it for that to go on.
No,
so
it's
long.
Fine, and I wasn't
too late now.
I should have probably brought it up right at 11 o'clock. But it's like I figured if I brought it up right at 11 o'clock, it was just the whole. I just wanted to get into the show and get the show kind of rolling because undoubtedly it will bring it back up again later. Because you, this is clearly not the end of
I know,
this
but
journey
I thought,
for you.
I
today.
Thought I would feel better, but now I'm all shaky and twitchy.
That's like my thing with the suit. Remember when I was bitching about the wedding suit? I'm like, ah, my family's going to kill me, and I have the wrong suit, and we're all going to die. And I thought I'd feel better, and then it was just like I was covered in black goo.
Yeah, sometimes it's cleansing, but right now I'm even more confused as what to do.
Oh, God.
It's like you've been to the public confessional.
Yes. No. But yeah, but did you ever feel better after confession?
No, because, I mean, you lie.
Yeah,
you have to make things up.
Did you make stuff up, or did you omit things, or both?
Made things up.
Both.
Yes,
and I gave things phony totals, like three lies.
See,
who kept track of how many lies you told?
I totally did that, and I would do bogus, completely bogus confessions. I was disrespectful to my parents with it, and it's like maybe you were, maybe you weren't, but you were talking because you don't want to, you can't go in and like I killed a guy, like you can't confess to anything real,
right?
You know, and you're not going to be like fiddled my winky, you know, you can't. What?
I fiddled my winky.
You know, whatever. I mean, you can't. If you are, pardon me, like a 13-year-old boy, and I'm assuming that the 13-year-old girls have a whatever. Whatever euphemism a 13-year-old girl might use. But, I mean, the common... Look, when you're 13, at least where I was covered, I wasn't dealing crack, and I wasn't out doing drive-bys. So I don't really know what I was doing, you know, that I should have confessed to. The only thing you're really doing is that you are touching yourself in an impure manner. And but you can't confess to that. Look, and if there is one place that you are not going to confess to that, it's in a small, dark, humid room 6 inches away from another man who's basically talking to you in a heavy whisper.
Through chicken wire.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I know that we're over time now, but we all remember that when you go in and you kneel down in the confessional.
I don't think they have that anymore.
They don't. You know, they have face-to-face confessions now, which is really bizarre.
How can you lie through that?
Well, and how are you supposed to... I mean... Like, I was a Catholic right at the it was sort of like a...
So what do they use those little booths for now? Or should I ask?
It's for teaching altar boys about the facts of life. Sparing the rod. Or something. But I
Are
was...
Are they closed or boarded up? Or?
It was sort of a... Actually, this is
they
a true story.
Stands?
No, if you go back to kiosk where you can buy merchandise, it's an ATM. If you just tithe directly into the machine... when I went back to my old church in Kennewick, I Laura and I did this, I don't know, probably 3-4 years ago. We went to a midnight mass there because, and I've told the story before, that I still love midnight mass because it's so great and creepy and cool and, you know, and pageantry and so forth. And anyway, we went back to midnight mass in Kennewick. And the confessionals had actually, I swear to God, been turned into like flower planters. It was like... because the confessionals are built into a wall. It's sort of like three phone booths with curtains built into a wall.
And they used to have red lights on top of the doors.
Exactly, okay. so you'd know when they were occupied. It was sort of like an airline bathroom. But the curtains had been taken off, and they had just put huge flower pots in there. And they were just growing plants. And I was like, well, what happened to the kid? Well, where are you supposed to sit and confess your sins? And, the deal is, it was sort of like a Vatican III kind of a thing, where the unofficially, in the late 80s, the church tried to be more sort of down to earth and touchy feely, and the deal
they certainly did. They succeeded, didn't they? I think that went back to the 70s and before.
Mea culpa, my child. I've got a V for Vendetta quote for every occasion now. But the deal when you confess now, it's like Carmela Soprano confession. You go in, and you like into the priest's office, which is back in the rectory. And you just sit down in a chair, and the priest sits there, and he crosses his legs at the knee, and he has like a little steno pad like your analyst, and he says, well, so how's it going? You know, and he just sort of, it's weird. I did it once.
So it's like free therapy?
It is. It's like totally free therapy, but with a guy who has no training or skills and whose advice is wrong.
Right.
Who has
no experience in dealing with these things whatsoever.
It's like free therapy with the worst therapist, the most unqualified shrink you could possibly imagine, you know? Hello, I'm a pale-skinned virgin priest. How may I help you with your sexual compulsions? You know, I mean, it's like there's no... Like,
It's like a therapist who...
Well, I take it very few take advantage of this free service.
No, I mean, it's... And I,
well, anymore.
When I was in Catholic school, I was there as they were bringing in this new sort of... Again, this sort of encounter group era Catholicism. And they actually gave us the choice of going into the confessional or sitting in the room with the priest and just rapping, as it were. Rapping with the man in black. And I did the face-to-face once. And I went in, and literally, you go in, you sit down in an easy chair. The priest is there in his cassock, which is the black thing, and his collar. And he's literally got, at least in my case, a pen and a steno pad, just like your school counselor. And he's like, hello there. Well, good day, or whatever. But then you have to do the whole ritual, the bless me, Father, for I have sinned. When you say that in a well-lit room, face-to-face, you realize how creepy and weird the whole thing sounds. And it was just all awkward. And then, you know, it's been 3 months since my last confession or whatever. And I think, don't you go right into the...
And he goes, okay, my child.
Okay, my child. And then you...
Tell me your sins.
Except it's not, okay, my child, because it's not a confessional. You're in an office and he's just like, all right then. And then there's this uncomfortable silence. Yeah, lay it on me. And then there's just this long, pregnant pause where you realize that I'm like a foot away from a guy in a fluorescent lit room. Like some dude, and you just got to start listing out all of the sins you committed. And at that point, you really realize how effed the whole thing is. And now the whole thing is really just a creepy mechanism by which wrinkled old men can sit and listen to the sexual peccadillos of young children.
That's so I guess really you could email ahead of time.
What's that?
You can email ahead of time.
Seriously, we're at that point now where the church will start doing that now that, you know, it's like the IRC confession or whatever. But anyway, and I was like, well, after one time with that, I was like, screw that. And so I went back to the confessional, which is creepy, but at least in the confessional, like, it's all dark, and so you don't have to feel that embarrassed because there's like, you know, the darkness hides the inanity of the procedure a little bit. But yeah, but you would... I
took the Lord's name in vain.
And you're trying to think of the sins that don't sound completely made up, but that aren't really serious.
Right.
Kind of like with my early shrinks, how I would very carefully avoid saying anything that would actually let her help me. Like any of my real issues, I would just sort of, well, those are ridiculous. Those are too serious. I won't bring those up. I'll bring up some middle ground issue that won't actually help me get any more grounded.
I left
grounded.
A dirty sock on the floor.
Totally. I do like to wash my hands a lot. You know, just something that was real, but that, like, had no bearing on my happiness or my relationships, which is why I was like, in therapy for 10 years before it did any good. And so you'd sit there with a priest, you'd go,
well, I took the Lord's name in vain. That sounds good. Yeah, three or four. I failed to keep the Lord's day holy. And, I bowed before a fatted calf. No, I didn't. No. I coveted a pencil box. In math class. There you go. These are my sins.
And then there's the long, and then I forget what happened at that point. Then he would give you like a little, well, don't do it again. And then he would, and then don't you say the act of contrition?
Yes.
And then he gives you the, say four Hail Marys. And like you actually wonder if they've got, like, if the priest...
Like a checklist?
No, well, my thing is, like, does the priest have like a little tipping card? You know what I mean? Like one of those cards that you carry the laminated, like 18% of, or like one of those cards that Canadian gamblers always have for some reason in Vegas casinos, where it's like, if the dealer is showing four, hit. You wonder if the priest has like a little slide rule in his pocket to tell you like how many rosaries you're supposed to do. And then, of course, you had to go right out and do all of that right then. You had to do the rosary and the confession and everything exactly, like you couldn't wait. You couldn't put it off for some reason.
But nobody really does the prayers completely.
No, I just did. I did all of them. No. I did all of them because I was so afraid for the longest time, as George Carlin says, until I reached the age of reason, mm-hmm. I was convinced that it was all real.
No. This is just pageantry.
So I know now.
I mean, if everyone kneeled there and said that, I mean, there'd be a backlog of people standing all the way into the parking lot.
I realize that now, and I think as you become an adult, you realize that it's all bupkis. Mm-hmm. But no, when I was growing up, when I was a child, I was completely convinced that the religion, the Catholicism, the hey, it was all real, it was all true. And I know a lot of Catholics, actually, people that I grew up with, who did the same thing, where I had a friend of mine who, this is why religion is so warped. I know we're gotten onto a whole thing here, we're in the news hour, and Sarah's
yelling at me. She's opening her mouth. No sound is coming up, but she's mouthing the words, "We have to break.
We are a half an hour late for a break."
It's okay.
We're doing the Lord's work here.
I just really got to go to the bathroom.
Baby, it's all right. Let Sweet Daddy Rick steer the ride.
Okay, creepy.
All right.
Yes. Mea culpa, my child.
You
can say them all. If you have plenty of time on you, say you're some unemployed peasant, what else are you going to do besides, you know, go to the well and fetch a pail of water after you're done? But if you have a busy life, you don't have time to kneel there and say all the prayers you've been told to say.
You realize retrospectively how effed religion really is in some ways, though, here on KCMD AM Portland, Oregon, in that I knew a lot of people, friends of mine growing up, like I had a friend of mine, and she used to, when she was like 11, 12 years old at night, would lay awake in bed at night repeatedly and compulsively, like the hand washing thing, like Jack Nicholson's hand washing thing, and As Good As It Gets, repeatedly and compulsively saying the act of contrition and the Lord's Prayer because she was convinced that she would go to hell otherwise. Because the Catholics teach you that if you die and you've got sin on your soul, then you go to purgatory or quite possibly hell. They're like real strict about it. And so she was just convinced that she would have like an impure thought flits through the head. Got to say 15 Hail Marys before I can go to sleep. And it just scarred her that she spent her entire childhood just convinced that she was on the verge of going to hell to be tortured endlessly by demons with sharp pointy sticks for all eternity, which is a goddamn effed up thing to put in the head of a little kid. The whole thing is just freaking weird and bizarre. So there you go. How did we even onto this subject?
They couldn't throw that many pitchforks anywhere.
Hey, and it's Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, take that. All right, there you go. But I'm talking about Hail Satan. All right, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. We're in the noon news hour. I'm glad we added that new hour. We're getting to everything.
I think we should start at 10.
We'll begin the noon news hour after this. The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You can't escape.